In Romans chapter 3, we're working on verses 21 and following. Page 15 of your notes. All right, let's be sure that we are in fellowship. It's easy to get out of fellowship. One sin, doesn't take a bunch, puts you out of fellowship. Once you're in fellowship, you're filled with God the Holy Spirit, and you're in a position to learn Bible doctrine. When you're out of fellowship, that doesn't work very well, if at all. So be sure you're in fellowship. The only other limitation that a person has with regard to communication of doctrine on this level is a limited frame of reference. It's like any subject. If you're interested in the subject and you start learning it, you got to start off with basics. And then you begin to build on those basics and develop a frame of reference through learning and applying. Bible doctrine doesn't do you any good if you don't apply it. It just sits there. And this is the Word of God, and every word in here is from the mouth of God through human authors whom God inspired to write this down and protected them from any error and misinformation. All right, this subject deals with building your foundation and understanding clearly the salvation adjustment to God, and that you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. Works are after the fact. Works are not required to gain you relationship with God forever. As many, many religions teach that you got to do these things and maybe you'll make it to the afterlife. No, that's the exact opposite. You have to do one thing and it's a non-meritorious act, meaning that it doesn't bring any credit to you. It's not anything you can boast in. You just believe in Christ and you get the gift of eternal salvation, which in this instance is emphasizing the imputation of righteousness. Paul isn't through with this. This is important so that believers, you can walk around and have confidence that you're saved and the wherewithal behind it, and nothing can shake you. So, but now apart from a law, a righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They're below the plus R factor. Well, way below, but low. More on it. 24, being justified as a gift by His grace. Being justified is the present part of passive participle of the verb to declare righteous, dikaiō. And so it's translated being justified as a gift. The word gift is dorion. It means without cost, as a free gift, by His grace. That would probably be an instrumental. The word for grace, the Greek word is charis. Being justified as a gift by His grace through, dia, the redemption. The word redemption is another salvation term. Apolutrosis. It means a setting someone free from something. Liberation from something. Our English, the redemption, which is in, preposition in, Christ Jesus. I would like to emphasize the fact, again, just for the listeners here, that all these verses, starting with verse 21, is one sentence in the Greek. There's no, but in our Bibles, they do make a sentence break, put a period in. This is all one sentence. Whom, antecedent refers to Jesus Christ from the preceding verse, God publicly displayed. Aorist middle indicative, protithemi. It's translated here, publicly displayed, displayed publicly, as a propitiation. You want another big word? The word propitiation only occurs twice, the noun. Hilasterion is translated propitiation here, and in Hebrews 9:5, mercy seat. In his blood, or through, I'll give the Greek word, or through faith, dia pistis, through faith, in preposition, blood, his. So this note here, the Greek word order reads, as a propitiation through faith in his blood. To demonstrate his righteousness. To demonstrate is to give preposition eis with a noun, and deixis means evidence or proof of something. To demonstrate his righteousness. Righteousness occurs quite a bit here. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. All right, in the forbearance of God, because I'll give Greek because it's easier on me. Because in the overlooking, paresis, it's a noun with the article, the overlooking, only once. And then the sins previously committed, progenomai, just for your information. This refers to the long history of human sinning up till the cross, until Christ paid a price for the sins of the world. It's the sins previously committed from Adam to Christ, before Christ appeared and made propitiation a reality, fulfilled it. And the forbearance of God is it means tolerance, two times, at 2:4, regarding divine restraint. For the demonstration, that word is repeated, for the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time, moving it from the cross forward, that's the present time, and that would include our time, pre-cross, post-cross. For the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time. Present is at the now time, kairos with the adverb now, at the now time, the present time, so that he would be just, to be infinitive, he would be just. The word dikaios means fair, honest, or just. And the justifier is the present active participle of dikaio, to acquit, declare righteous, justifier, from, and he repeats this, the one who has faith, the one by means of faith of Jesus. Not Jesus' faith, we'll explain that, or I'll try to. Okay. Got a pause on this one. There's a sentence for you. One sentence, piling all this up. See if we can break it down. One, the but now that begins verse 21 is an adverb that expresses a contrast between two periods of time. The now is the manifestation of justification by faith, guaranteed by the appearing of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. The whole point of the incarnation was to move him forward through his life and his public ministry to the point where he would go to a Roman cross and bear the sins of the world. This isn't generally understood by even evangelicals, fundamentalists, what took place on the cross. What part of the cross did Jesus bear the sins of the world? But I'm going to save that. Probably we won't get there until later this week. Has been manifested refers to the coming of Christ, we call it the incarnation, and his suffering for the sins of humanity. That's the conclusion of his life on earth, was to bear the sins of the world. In fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies in this regard. Because he had plus R in his humanity, and therefore was qualified to do what no other could do, take the sins of the collective human race and suffer for them. Unbelievable. I mean, the number of sins committed on the earth in just 10 seconds, let alone all of human history, past, present, and on in beyond us. He took the heat for them. And that has to be explained, which we will. I've explained it before, but we'll get it again. The words "apart from law" draws our attention to a righteousness that is available to mankind that is attainable. 5. There is an extreme contrast between justification through law, which is unattainable, and that which is apart from law. 6. The righteousness that is easily attainable is the provision of the gospel. Gospel means good news. So when you witness the gospel to someone, you're giving them the best possible news. Better than winning some big prize or anything anyone could deliver as good news. That Greek word means good news. It was a common Greek word. Hey, I have euangelion for you. I have some good news. So this is the good news, and we have the word English gospel. So it just means good news. It's not, therefore it's a package, a message that regarding the death, burial, and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ. 7. This contrast between the past and the present does not mean that this attainable righteousness was now for the first time revealed, or that in an earlier period men were justified by the works of the law. I say these things because there are some weird views out there. The Jews got into the position of believing that salvation was through the works of the law, the moral code, the ritual code. They fell prey to that. There was no excuse for that. And that is why, when Jesus appeared, they rejected him, repudiated him. In spite of all of his miracles, in spite of all of his credentials, he had all the credentials. They had a Messiah checklist, because fakes would jump up once in a while and say, "I'm a Messiah." False Christs, as we have them appearing in the last days, and will continue to do so. They had a checklist. Who are your parents? What is your family tree? Who can you trace your lineage back to? We'll start there. We'll start with, do you have as an ancestor King David? No? Well, then you're a fake. Jesus had as an ancestor King David. Through his natural mother, Mary, and through his legal father, Joseph. They came from two down that line. It's right in the genealogies. Checklist. Oh, by the way, where were you born? What location were you born at? The prophet Micah says he would be born in the little hamlet of Bethlehem. A little no-name place about 10 miles outside Jerusalem. So that would eliminate a bunch of people, wouldn't it? And so forth and so on. Paul's already said here in this book that he was descendant of David. So any Messiah candidate had to be a descendant of David. And, I didn't even add, you have to appear at the right time in history. The fullness of time. In connection with Daniel's 70 weeks of years. There's a timeline. So he had all the credentials. Paul says that this attainable righteousness was witnessed by the law and the prophets. There is a righteousness witnessed by the law, i.e. Ten Commandments and all the other rules with regard to human behavior. And there's a lot more than the Ten Commandments. How you're supposed to treat the poor. There's all kinds of commandments. Men are not to wear women's clothing. Oops. I just threw one out there. Men are not to wear women's clothing. Oh, really? Marriage is between a man and a woman. No same-sex stuff. A pastor in Canada, I read in the news, got thrown in jail for simply reporting this fact to his congregation. He got put in jail because he said marriage is between a man and a woman. Duh. There are two genders. There's not three. There's not eight. You can declare yourself anything you want, but you're not that. You can say, I'm a billionaire. Well, maybe spiritually, but you are not physically. I think I'm a girl. Well, you're an idiot. One psychiatrist said, this transgender stuff is a mental disorder. he's not dealing with moral issues. I mean, he's a psychiatrist, okay? And that a sex change operation is meaningless. If you mutilate yourself and you cut off whatever, you're still a whatever you were born as. Science, true science. God made two genders to perpetuate the human race. And so this pastor gets thrown in jail. And I read another one in Denmark got in trouble too. And they and in some of those denominations over in Europe, if the minister doesn't perform a same-sex marriage ceremony, he's defrocked. So you see, the persecution's coming. It's already here. The world has gone nuts and is opposed to the truth. The simple basic truth that humans have understood, yes, there's always been those who were deviants and they ran off on this other direction. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? The physical evidence is still down there on the ground. 1 hour or one day, a bunch of angels brought fire and brimstone in there. I got one of the sulfur balls in my office. Someone ran it down for me online. Dug up right out of the soil out there. It's got sulfur and magnesium in it. God left some of them intact so we'd have a witness. Peter talks, but this is the destruction of that place and the blighting of that which was otherwise a very verdant, prosperous area in terms of growing crops and other things. The Dead Sea. The Salt Sea. 1 hour or one day. They wouldn't turn away from a particular form of evil, and this came out of the sky on them. I've driven down that road right by the place. They got a lot of nice big hotels there. And mineral baths. All that. So, Paul states this attainable righteousness. So I'm calling it now. Attainable righteousness. And indispensable if you want to go to heaven and get a resurrection body and live on earth too. When this one's taken out. In a resurrection body that knows no pain, no aging. You'll never have any discomfort. You won't say, I'm tired. Oh, can you pull over? I can use the restroom. None of that. You can walk right through that wall with it and not tear the wall up or your body. We'll be resurrected right off the face of the earth and meet Christ in the air. And then go to the third heaven. Past all the stars and everything. And then 7 years later, we're coming back with him. And he's going to defeat the armies gathered against Israel and defeat them single-handedly. And then we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Phase one of the kingdom of God. And we're going to inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Blessed are those. The meek, well, they'll inherit the earth. Not the mighty, power, ruthless, and all these others. They're all going to be brought down. Short of their turning individually to the Lord. But the system's going to be brought down. So this was witnessed by the law and the prophets. This establishes harmony and continuity between the Old and New Testaments. 10. The Mosaic law, through the sacrificial code, taught through the blood sacrifices, the way of salvation. It was a teaching aid. Every little lamb that was ever had its throat cut and bled out, bull, pigeon, whatever, it taught the coming work of Christ. They killed the animals, not by hitting them in the head, by cutting their carotid artery, and they would bleed out. And they have, you can see, you can read about them in Leviticus, the different categories, the burnt offering, the peace offering. Pew, 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 pew. So, The coming of Christ was witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law, I put emphasis on, its emphasis on the elaborate sacrificial code, ritual code. Christ our Passover. All of it. And the prophets spoke of a coming suffering Savior who would be victorious over his enemies and be raised from the dead and rule over the nations. The destiny of our Lord is to rule the nations. He's a king. He's a king in his natural. He's got a royal heritage. Plus, as God, God is king. God rules. God likes royalty. Not corrupt royalty, but royalty. That's why you and I, as believers in this dispensation, we're members of the royal family of God. You're royalty. The Bible tells me you are. And you're going to see the effect of that in the afterlife. You're also all priests, every one of you. Believer priests. No special collar, nothing. Gender doesn't interfere with it or anything. Unbelievable how different it is than what some out there teach, right? When Paul says apart from the law or without law, he means this unequivocally. This means that in phase one justification, there's no contribution, whatever, by the works of the law or by any other system of works that you could name. Church age works. Water baptism. Old Testament circumcision and all the other things that the Jews were required to do. The righteousness of God that is manifested is that which was first noted in chapter 1, verse 17. Where Paul is talking about the gospel, and he said, I'm not ashamed of this message. In the face of a world of paganism and the fact that the Romans crucified Christ, he's not ashamed. Imagine going up to the mindset of those people and saying, a man crucified by the Romans is the Savior of the world. They laugh at you. They mock it. Well, the final story of that, God raised him up from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. And he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. All this I teach you requires faith. Faith is required when you look at the creation. And the most logical conclusion is that there is a creator, designer, all-powerful, all-wise, etc., etc. That's the most logical thing. All prejudices aside, things don't create themselves. Last time I checked. Things don't create themselves. It's ridiculous. Things require somebody to do it. You find something that's nice. Let's say it was lost by somebody. You know somebody made that. You know automatically. You don't even have to think about it. Well, this is pretty nice looking ring I found out here in the woods. Somebody lost it out here. And you take it to a jeweler and you say, yeah, that's a fine piece of work there. You know somebody, a craftsman, put it together. So what do you think about that little bug that's running across the floor that's going like a bat out of hell? I was trying to step on a little spider and he kept going like this. I mean, he was fast. If I was that fast as a human, everyone's eyes would be bugging out. They wouldn't even let me in a track meet because I beat everybody so fast. Based on his size and the amount of ground he covered, God did that. And some of his stuff, he has a real sense of humor about. He really does. Some of this stuff's funny. Some of it's ugly. Some of it's cute. Some of it's regal. The king of beasts, the lion. He made all those animals. Now, yeah, the creation suffers under the curse. We understand that part, the bad stuff. Ooh, I stuck my hand in that, picking up that rose, and I got a big thorn stuck in my hand. Well, that's part of the curse. That wasn't a part of original creation. That'll be lifted in the millennium, if not exclusively. That's going to be weird. So the righteousness of God in verse 22 is the same as that of verse 21 and 117. The words through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe has the same force as from faith to faith of 117. But 117 deals with phase one faith, your initial faith in Christ when you believed in Him and entered into the plan, and phase two faith, which you walk by faith. All the things if you go out of here and use this doctrine, you're saying, I believe that God is behind it and supports it. You don't see. When you get to the afterlife, you won't need faith anymore. It'll be all sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We hear the truth, understand it, and gap it, and away we go. And we walk by faith. This is a true doctrine, or it isn't. And if it's a true doctrine, that's what I embrace. I walk by faith. If I walk by sight exclusively, I wouldn't be up here. I'd be out here in my old age trying to pursue the last remnants of Funsville. And how many more stupid possessions I can get. And another cruise or whatever it is. I've been on cruises. Elderly people like cruises. Is this your final cruise? Thank God. You can hardly get up the gangplank, but you're going to go. And you ought to have been in a local church where you taught the truth. Where someone told you, did you know that growing old, with all of its liabilities, you can get reward for that if you're in fellowship? Or if you've got a sickness or a disease of minor or major up the ladder, you can get a reward for that if you're in fellowship? It's called the eternal weight of glory. Because as I said, when Christ comes back, it'd be nice if we're in Bible class, but we'll see. We're all going to be 35 years old. That's how old Jesus was when He was resurrected, roughly. 34 working on 35. We're all going to be 35. If your grandmother's a believer, she's going to be the same age as you. Your daughter is 12 years old and she's a believer, she's going to be the same age as you. You're going to be downloaded with the entire plan of God in your new brain. And we're not going to have differences of opinion. All our ignorance and all our stupidity will be eliminated, and in its place will be divine viewpoint. But for those who take God seriously and walk by faith, they're going to get the high reward. The highest reward God's ever bestowed on anybody as a human being. It's commonly called the crown. And it's only for those who are found positive when it's time to go home. So in presenting Jesus Christ, point 17, as the object of faith, Paul, for the first time, brings to the forefront that which has not been expressly stated thus far in this epistle, amazingly. So it is Jesus Christ who is the object of justifying faith, which is the righteousness that qualifies the individual for eternal life or eternal salvation. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of studying these matters. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten our positive volition in Christ's name. Amen. See you Tuesday.